It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It is the Wednesday, and it's the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. So thank you for joining us today on the call on Facebook. God bless each of you. And it's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Andrinda, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together to be able to open up your word. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night, and now we pray that your spirit would teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. Lead us, guide us, and help us to gain wisdom and grace as we draw close to you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
our topic this morning is Christ, or Jesus, our great high priest, in Hebrews chapter 9. We're in Hebrews chapter 9 this morning. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the beautiful life that you've given to us. You've called us to be alive at this critical time in Earth's history, a time when Jesus is soon to come. Father, this earth can't last much longer. Men don't know that they're men, and women don't know that they're women, and we have racism on a scale that we have not seen. Open racism, it's been there. People just being blind to the most glaring realities of crime and wrongdoing in high places because they want to support whoever their party is, whether they're Democrat or Republican. Father, how can truth prevail? Well, it will if we keep our eyes on Jesus. We thank you for him and his great sacrifice for us. Help us to treasure that and desire to be like him, because we know you'll work it out if we put our will on the side of Christ. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, God is good. Let's begin reading. Then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Now, there's nothing in that verse that says the Ten Commandments were done away with. As a matter of fact, God had different types of laws. There were the Ten Commandments, there were statutes, there were judgments, there were ordinances. The Passover, you can read in Exodus 12, was an ordinance that they would keep forever throughout their generations. So the generations of the Jews ended as far as them being God's chosen people. That ended when Jesus came and died. And the gospel then would go to the Gentiles. But when God says it's an ordinance forever, throughout their generations, that means that it's the generations of the Jews. And even though it says forever, hellfire, the Bible says in some verses, makes it seem like it burns forever. It uses everlasting fire. But the Bible tells us in the book of Jude, I believe it's verse 9, that Sodom and Gomorrah is the example of everlasting fire. And therefore, it's not burning now. It everlasting just often means until it's done, until it's not good. Nothing's going to stop it until it is completed its cycle or its purpose. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Now, remember, we talked about the outer court in a previous broadcast. The outer court was outside, and it was bordered by a border of curtain-like material, but it was outside. And inside that, there was a brazen altar, a brass altar, and then there was a laver, which had lots of water in it. And the altar was where the lamb was slain or the animal was slain, and then the priest would wash in the laver. All of this had significance. In the outer court, which represents Jesus on this earth, he died on Calvary's cross for you and me and for the entire world. And those who accept that sacrifice for their sins, have their sins pardoned, and also have the opportunity to begin a walk with God. So the altar represents the sacrifice. The laver with the water represents the cleansing. You can have done wrong all your life and give your heart to Christ, and his blood covers all your sin, and you are cleansed. That represents justification. So the outer court represents justification. Justification is pardon and a new heart. That's the altar and the laver where you got purified, okay? Then the high priest would go, the priest anyway, would go, because some of them were, the priest could go into the holy place only the high priest can go into the most holy place, and that only happened once a year. But in the holy place, which we just named, it says the first, wherein was the candlestick, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Now, it doesn't mention the altar of incense in this verse, but the altar of incense is there too. I want to just bring out a little significance here. How do we maintain our walk with God? Now you have the opportunity to be sanctified, to continue in sanctification once you're justified. You've got to be justified first because you have to be labeled as pardoned. Righteousness has to be put in you and you're labeled there. So you hear these theological terms, righteousness imputed, righteousness imparted. And I'm going to tell you how to remember it. Imputed has the word put in there. So righteousness is just put on you. Not that you deserved it, not that you have a track record of doing right, but you gave your heart to God, you asked for forgiveness. God takes away the stain of your sin and puts righteousness on us. That's what God does. That's the beautiful thing, brothers and sisters. God puts righteousness on us, imputed. As you then look into the holy place, it's righteousness imparted. It becomes a part of you. In other words, you actually begin to grow as a Christian. Things you once liked, you don't like anymore. Things you once did, you don't do anymore. You're now growing. So how do we grow? The table of showbread represents God's word. We stay in the word. We don't look and see what is the Republican Party saying or what is the Democratic Party saying. We see what is God saying. There's so many Christians, brothers and sisters, it's disappointing because they say, yes, I'm Christian and I'm a Democrat. Okay, well, the Democratic Party says that God didn't know what he was doing and that he made some people assigned female at birth and some people assigned male at birth, but the person can decide that he made a mistake and that God didn't know what he was doing and that whatever I want to be, I can be. And therefore, you are basically throwing mud in the face of a creator. You know, I spoke at a memorial service this past Sabbath, and it was in the afternoon, you know, after church services in the evening. And God gave me a little short message, and it was very simple. I wasn't the main speaker. I just kind of introduced the meeting, and I had ministered to the deceased weeks before her death, anointed her, and so on and so forth. My wife and I were ministering to them. And so we participated in the memorial. And did you know that when a woman is born, she has about roughly 2 million what we call oocytes, that's the eggs in the ovaries, any of which can become, when merged with a sperm, a new human being. Now, they deteriorate over time, and that's why when we get to a certain age, ladies don't continue to get pregnant because they pretty much run out. You deteriorate over time. Out of that 2 million, about 500,000 end up going to maturity. Now, you don't have 500,000 children, but you do produce over a lifetime, 500,000. Well, let me just say it this way. You do make, ladies, 500,000 mature eggs, okay? So, but you start with 2 million because any of them could be that 500 in that 500,000. And then when you merge that with the sperm that is from the male, there's actually 500 million sperm. So my brothers and sisters, if you wonder, does God have a plan for my life? Let me explain something to you. If you multiply 2 million, because and by the way, science has determined that every one of those oocyte eggs is genetically different from every other oocyte egg. So they would potentially be a different person. And every sperm is genetically different from every other 500 million sperm. That's amazing. So each sperm represents a different person. So I want you all to understand, if you wonder, does God have a plan for my life? Does God love me? When you multiply 500 million times 2 million, because that's what you would have to do to determine how many choices God had. And this is just based on our human limitations and our human calculations, okay? You know, we use a phrase when we say somebody's special, man, she's one in a million, or he's one in a million. You're not one in a million. You're not one in a billion. You're not one in a trillion. Just on human calculations alone, which God is not even bound to, because Jesus and the Holy Spirit came as humans, and they didn't even go through the normal genetic cycle, because he didn't have an earthly father. God can do anything, but just by our human calculation, God had a quadrillion other options besides making you. And so guess what? Out of that quadrillion, brothers and sisters, let's assume that half of the male sperm has an X chromosome, which would mean when it burrows into the egg, it's going to be a male. And then half of the male sperm, which would be another 250 million, would have a Y chromosome, which means that once it burrows into the egg, the offspring would be female. You would basically be able to say God had half of whatever a quadrillion is, God would have half of a quadrillion options to make you a boy if you're a girl, and he had half of a quadrillion options to make you a girl if you were a boy. If I said the same thing twice, you understand what I'm saying. He could have made you a boy if you were a girl. He could have made you a girl if you were a boy. So the bottom line, friends, is that that whole movement is just a slap in God's face to say God didn't know what he was doing. Okay, so I'm not going to be a Democrat, and I'm not going to be a Republican either, because I don't believe in racism, and that is what has been promoted, a superior race, it has been. I'm not saying every Republican believes that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that that has been fueled by one of the leaders in that party, and that has what has awakened people to come out of the closet and want, no matter what an individual does, no matter how bad it is, that's who they want to vote for. That just shows you where we are in our society today, brothers and sisters. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my children fight. I don't believe God wants true Christians to be Democrats or Republicans today. I believe that we should understand that there is a message about Jesus coming, and he's coming soon, and the world will have to face the mark of the beast, that mark of authority of the Roman Catholic Church, which says Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible, they say. And the transference of the holy day from Saturday to Sunday is proof of that fact. That is what the United States of America, when it goes down, friends, before it goes down into ruin, is going to push on the world. That's what the Bible teaches, friends. We don't have time to go to all the scriptures, but I'm here to tell you that we have a solemn message, and that's why we're medical missionaries, because you can't open the hearts of a Republican just by telling the truth in the Bible, because their hearts are stoned. You can't reach a Democrat by just telling them the truths of the Bible, most of them, because their hearts are like stone. But they get sick, you see. They get cancer and arthritis and diabetes and hypertension and, you know, and all these types of things, and we can help them with the love of Jesus. That's what this is all about, friends, and that's why we're doing this training school to prepare people to be better equipped to help their neighbors, friends, enemies, and whoever else will listen to them and help them to have a better health. All right, let's read on. It says, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. So the second veil, you had a veil when you went in the first tabernacle into the holy place, where was the table of showbread, which represented Bible study, the altar of incense, which represented prayer, the golden candlesticks, which represented service and ministry to others. That's how we maintain sanctification. You can't maintain sanctification. You can't stay close to God if you're not in his word. You can't stay close to God if you don't pray. You can't stay close to God if you don't serve your fellow man. It's a beautiful concept, brothers and sisters. That's how we stay close to God. But then there was a veil, and after that veil was the most holy place. That's what it's describing here. It says, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot, that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. That's the Ten Commandments, my friends. The Ten Commandments was inside the ark. And see, a lot of people think that the Ten Commandments and Moses' law was one and the same. It was not. And you can read in Exodus chapter 25, verses 16 and 21, and thou shalt put into the ark the testimony that I shall give thee. That's the Ten Commandments. It went in it. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I give thee. And then in Exodus 40, verse 20, it says, and he took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staves on the ark and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. But then when we, so that's all dealing with the ark, the Ten Commandments. But then when you go to Deuteronomy 31:26, Moses wrote a book. Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark, a side pocket of the ark, of the covenant of the Lord your God. And it be there for a witness against thee. They were two separate documents, friends. And so the Ten Commandments was not done away with at the cross. Portions of Moses' law, which represented, pointed forward to Jesus Christ. They were shadows of his coming and his ministry. That was done away with because Jesus came. And over it, talking about the ark, verse 5, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second with the high priest alone once a year without blood, which he offered for himself and for the not without blood. So he went in not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. So the high priest only went into the most holy place once a year. That represents, see, the yearly cycle represents the cross of Christ all the way to the second coming of Christ. Okay? So Jesus died on the cross, on the altar. We get purified in the labor. As a result, the world can be purified if they choose to be. And then his faithful people will study their Bible, will pray, and will serve others. And then God is showing that at the end of this cycle called time on earth, Jesus in 1844 went into the most holy place to begin a work of judgment. What is that work? It's an investigative judgment. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, it says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Peter said in Acts chapter 3, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. Talk about the blotting out of sin. David talked about the blotting out of sin. The blotting out of sin, brothers and sisters, is a future event when Jesus has finished all, going through all the names of his professed people. If you call yourself a Christian, God is just going to simply see if you have accepted all the gospel. If you are not keeping the Sabbath, you're not going to be accepted, friends, because we have to be commandment keepers. Now, you say, okay, well, I keep Sabbath, and I keep Sunday, and I keep whatever. Well, just understand that you'll be tested because there's going to be a time where everybody in this world is going to be forced to worship on Sunday or on Sabbath. And the Bible tells us that we should come out of Babylon. Babylon is false teaching, friends. That's in Revelation 14 and in Revelation 18. It's more prevalent in Revelation 18. Read the first few verses. It says, come out of her, my people. That means that if where you are, truth is not being taught, you should not regularly worship there. That's what the Bible teaches, brothers and sisters. And I have to tell you the truth. It says it in the word. Come out of her, my people. Why? So you're not partakers of their sin and receive of their plagues. That means whatever they do and teach, if you're a member there, then you are responsible as if you did it. That's why I'm not going to join the mafia. I could say I'm going to join the mafia and I'm just going to be their medical missionary. No, I can be there. I can help them. I could be a medical missionary, but I'm not going to join the mafia because if I'm a member of the mafia, then I'm responsible for what they do. You see, that's why I can't join the Republican Party because I'm responsible. I'm one of them. I'm responsible for what they do. I represent what they do and I don't represent what they do. Neither do I represent what the Democrats do. Friends, it could be a Sabbath keeping church. If you are a member, then you are responsible. So if you are a member now, that means you must protest. But I'm telling you, all who do, when you have a situation, whether I don't care what church it is, that where the leadership has determined to be more like the world, we have been told in a book called Selected Messages, the book one, page 206, it says nothing. If the church goes down this road, books of a new order will be written in. It speaks about that, and it says nothing will be allowed to stand in the way of the new movement. So God has already told us your protest is not going to change anything. It's not going to work. He already told us that, and he even told us what the outcome will be. Storm and tempest would sweep away the structure. So brothers and sisters, a lot of people don't like to accept statements like that because we have a mindset that we want the church to go through to the end. And it is going through, but we've missed what the Lord said. The church is the people, brothers and sisters. It's not the organization or a particular organization. Now, that people should try to be organized as best as possible, but and a particular organization. That's not the church that's going through to the end. And so that's hard for a lot of people to accept. But anyway, we must tell the truth because God said it's going to be swept away when the storm comes. The storm is talking about the mark of the beast. If you can't run with the footmen, they say we've got to have a vaccine and we have to put evil books in our schools and we've got to let homosexuality take over the campuses. You see, if you can't stand and say, no, this is against the Bible, then you're not going to stand when it comes down to you being considered a terrorist just because you want to obey the Ten Commandments. It's not going to happen, friends. If you can't, Jeremiah 12:5, if you run with the footmen and they weary thee, how can thou contend with horses? And in times of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee. How wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? So, friends, it's going to get much worse if we can't be followers of God. Surrender to God today, friend, today. If you can't be a follower of God today, I'm telling you, you will not stand in this. Who would have heard that a wildfire would kill hundreds of people in Maui? That's like tourist destination. Friends, things can happen to devastate your town in a heartbeat. Heartbeat, friends. And we think that things are going to get better. No, they're not. I'm reading on. Speaking of this most holy place, which is a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, or I should say it's talking about the sanctuary, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. So all of that service they had to do until Jesus died on the cross. Once he died on the cross, Satan had lost a war. He's just fighting what is called in war a delaying action. He already lost. He's just trying to slow it down, slow his demise down, take as many down with him. That's what they do when you retreat. You want to take as many enemy out. You know you're going to be defeated. But you take as many of the enemy out as you can. Christ, the devil's trying to take you out, friends. You're going to let him take you out? Have you surrendered? Is your all on the altar? What do you spend time doing? Do you spend time in the Word? Are you more in watching stuff and looking what's going on TV or what? Do you spend more time doing that than you do in prayer and Bible study? I'm not trying to say you got to be a monk. A true Christian is a person of service, doing things for people. But I'm saying, what are you feeding your spirit? What are you feeding your spirit? I'm telling you, if you're feeding your spirit Hollywood, most of what is in Hollywood was an actual type of wood from a holly tree, and that's what's used to make magic wands. Spiritualism has taken over, brothers and sisters. It has taken over the industry of entertainment, of TV and motion film. So we want to be like Jesus. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, see the perfect ones in heaven, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes and of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Our great high priest is Jesus Christ, and he can plead his own blood in our behalf, friends. That's what the sanctuary is all about. And he can help us and send delegations. He sent his Spirit. He can send angels to help us in this great controversy, in this fight against the devil. And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. So this is basically saying the covenant is like a will, okay? And Jesus had to die to bring in the force of his covenant, okay? The old covenant, animals died, and so it was symbolic, but it's not the true and most perfect covenant. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. But when Moses had spoken every precept of all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You can't be forgiven without blood. Friends, I am saddened by the state of Christianity. We're judgmental people. We're impatient. We're hard on people. But we don't want God to be hard on us. But we're hard on people. We don't want to give people time to change and help them out. If they may think different, let me tell you something. You know I preach the truth by the grace of God. But if I saw a person in need, and that person was a Republican, if that person was in need, and that person was a white supremacist, and if God told me to, because, I mean, you know, God might say, hey, it's not safe, but if God told me it was safe to do so, and they were in need, I would help them. If they were homosexual and they had a need, I would help them, and you should too, if the Lord impresses you to. Now, you should always pray, because sometimes the devil sets traps, and sometimes people are thinking they're claiming they're in need, but it's a trap. So you always pray. But I'm saying that it shouldn't just be the fact that they're homosexual, the fact that they're Democrat, the fact that they're Republican. And I preach against the wrongdoings of those systems. God hates sin. He loves sinners like you and me. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's just that some of us allow God to change our name. And we're not called sinners. We're called the redeemed of the Lord. Praise God. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into holy places made with hands. Notice it says places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto all men, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, he is announcing the investigative judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father in heaven. Bless us as we worship you and throughout the day. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Be with us now as we transition to wellness in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be hearing from Sister Lenny, and on the subject herbal remedies. We're going to take an 8-minute intermission and have our torso song. In the meantime, just keep praying, and we'll be back. Wow.
healing is the feeling north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormality may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. It's time to hear from Sister Lenny, and the subject is herbal medicine.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Herbal medicine. Once you find out or are reminded that aspirin was developed from extracts of the willow bark tree, you may begin to view herbal medicine a little differently. Around most of the world, outside North America, in fact, herbal or botanical medicine is traditional medicine. To the contrary, in our culture, we have come to think of our pharmaceutical-based, increasingly high-tech healing system as traditional, and the other systems around the globe as alternative. In herbal medicine, herb means any plant or any part of a plant that is used to make medicine, food colorings, food flavorings, aromas. You can find herbs in whole form, extracts, tinctures, oils, ointments, teas, and tablets. Because everyone's physiology is different, some experimentation is necessary to find the right herbal remedies for you. The chemicals that occur naturally in herbs have been observed and studied for centuries, but only have recently achieved scientific recognition by American doctors and researchers. Despite great strides in the acceptance and understanding of using herbs as medicine, there are still some that don't believe that herbs work. Thus, herbs, some quite powerful, can now be bought in health food stores, supermarkets, herb shops, and specialty drug stores. Herbs are regulated as dietary supplements, like vitamins, not as drugs, even though some of them can have the same effect as drugs. In the near future, we can foresee that many more people will experiment with herbal medicines for everyday ailments like coughs, colds, sore throats, menstrual problems, minor cup scrapes, and burns. In such cases, natural herbal remedies may be as effective, no more expensive, and have fewer side effects than pharmaceutical drugs. I used to always wonder, why do they call herbs medicine? Well, I found that they call herbs medicine because they have active ingredients made from plant parts, such as leaves and roots and flowers, that treat disease and enhance general health and well-being. And I need to share with you, just because something says natural, it doesn't mean you're supposed to take it. You need to research it and see if you're supposed to take it. This morning's reading is coming from Uncommon Cures for Everyday Ailments, page 16 to 17. Thank you so much, and may you be richly blessed today. God bless you.
Amen. We've got about, let me see how much time we have. We have about 15 minutes to the top of the hour, and it's time for us to open the phone lines, and we'll start with roll call. We have Virginia on Facebook. We have South Carolina on Facebook. We have Georgia on Facebook. We have Virginia again, and we have Virginia again. So Virginia is well represented on Facebook. And on the call, we have Ohio. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. We have Maryland. We have Delaware again. We have Michigan. We have New Jersey. We have Oklahoma. We have Ohio again. We have Iowa. We have Oklahoma. We have Michigan again. And we have Georgia. Please press star 6. We'd love to hear from you. And on the Facebook, we have good morning to us from Sister Vicky, from Sister Salita, from Sister Glorious. And that's what we have as far as communication goes. We've got Sister Odessa on the line. We'll take her call. And I want to remind you, if you know anyone that wants to take the course, friends, we've been sending out the textbook. The textbook, if you want to know the exact page count, is 486 pages. That might seem overwhelming. It's not. It's full of flow charts. It's very graphical. God has given us a learning system that teaches the medical missionary work in a very unique way to help the student grasp it, and he's given us an understanding of this medical missionary work and disease that helps you to understand that you have now joined a healing system, just like modern medicine is a healing system or has various. You have the osteopathy, you have allopathy, which is your medical doctor, and your DO is osteopathy. We have a system of healing. We call it biblical wellness. Sometimes we'll call it holistic wellness spelled with a W, and you'll learn that. You'll be a part of that, friend. So the cutoff day is Thursday. We're not taking any more after Thursday. So just to let you know. God bless you, and we'll take Sister Odessa. Good morning, Sister Odessa.
Pastor and everyone that's on the line, it's just truly a blessing this morning to hear your voice, Pastor. Kind of miss you over the weekend, but I was just thankful and thanking the Lord that you guys made it back safely to your destination. I'm on vacation. I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana, visiting my family. So I will be here till Sunday, and I will be going to Georgia to see my baby brother, and then I'll be heading on back to Oklahoma. I just thank you so much. It's a blessing to hear your voice. And we've just been praying for the broadcast and praying for you guys, that God will continue to bless the ministry. And so thank you so much. God bless all of you. Keep us in prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise God that you've made it safely, and he's going to bless you to enjoy your vacation. Amen. Amen. All right, friends, is there anyone else that would like to share anything? Just press star 6. We've got about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Those of you who are students, you should have registered with your email address. And what's going to happen is you will get a private link via email that lets you know the credentials to get in, because this is not open to the public, only open to students. So we hope to be sending that out Thursday to Friday. So if you don't get it, just contact us. But you should get an email. That's how this is going to work, okay? All right, that being said, we're going to take our dear sister in Oklahoma, I believe. Good morning, dear sister. Okay, you're muted, so please unmute your phone.
Thank you. Good morning. And good morning, Odessa. Good to hear your voice. She is why I'm on this call. She's such a blessing. Been knowing Odessa for about maybe 7 years, and it has been a blessing. But also, this ministry is such a blessing, too. And I thank God for you all, you and your wife, dedication, you know, to this, to God. To God be the glory for this ministry. And I hear it, you know, in your voice, you know, you're the same every morning. Some mornings may be harder than others, you know, but yet you're dedicated. And I pray when it's all said and done, you and your wife will hear those words, well done, that good and faithful servant, because that's what it's going to take, you know, to God. So, and I know that's what you're doing. And I want to say thank you to sister that gives the morning
Wednesday health.
Yeah, the health nugget every morning. She also is such a blessing. You know, there's gifts in our tone of voice, and I need to master that yet. But just everything about it, I really appreciate her dedication and her faithfulness as well. So may God continue to bless you all.
Thank you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Yes, we hear from Sister Lenny on Wednesdays, and we hear from Sister Donna on Tuesdays. So, friends, if you all want to participate in some way in helping this work, you just let us know. That's what we do. We're here to put people to work, not to do all the work. Can we say amen? As a matter of fact, if somebody wants to give a thought, a spiritual thought, we can definitely let you do that as well. All right. Thank you very much for those wonderful, kind words, my dear sister. And is there anyone else in the last, 7 minutes or so, 8 minutes? Press star 6. We have time. So if you want to share anything, just go ahead and press star 6 at this time. And we have two callers. And we will hear from Sister Donna. Good morning, sis. Uh-oh.
And good morning, everyone on the line. I did want to give just a spiritual thought, something that has occurred to me, if that's okay.
Sure. Are you on speakerphone?
I'm actually, yeah, on my speaker, and I have it right up to my mouth. Are you having a problem?
Yes, it sounds better now. Yep, sounds better now. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I wanted to just give a short spiritual thought, because I know we're short on time, and there's another caller after me. But I wanted to share with our brothers and sisters this morning one of the real benefits of waking up. Now, we have scripture that tells us today is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. However, it goes even further than that. Every time he wakes us up, that's God. Every time God wakes us up, we have another chance to give him honor, glory, and praise. Another chance to ask forgiveness for our sins. And another chance to bow before him, to humble ourselves before him. These are three important practices that can help us be heaven bound. And we need to take advantage of that every morning, early in the morning, before we get caught up in the day's cares. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. Praise God. All right, Sister Leilani, good morning.
Good morning. I am so saddened. My friend Karen lost her granddaughter on Monday. She was a preemie. She weighed less than 2 pounds, and she had a cleft palate, so she was unable to suck, and they had to tube feed her. She was born on September 1st last year. And it's just almost time for her first birthday. She's lived her whole life in Children's Hospital in Oklahoma City. And the family is just devastated. And I ask prayer for them. My friend has turned away from God. And she was a Catholic. And she has just kind of turned away from religion. But she's always said, I
appreciate your faithfulness. And so, you know, we need to let our light shine, because even if she doesn't agree with me, she agrees. She admires my faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So just pray for Karen, her daughter Alyssa, her husband Nick, and her other granddaughter Alina, is there going through some really bad times.
Amen. Definitely. We will keep them in prayer. Thank you, sis. God bless you. You know, we recognize that this is a challenge for everybody. It's a challenge that's a beautiful challenge. I mean, it's a sacrifice, but it's a beautiful sacrifice, getting up this early to hear the word of God. But we do have some of you that are on central time. Every once in a while, we'll get somebody. We've had them all the way up on Alaska Mountain time or something like that, 4 hours before us. But we just want to acknowledge that it's not the same for everybody, and some of you all are getting up even earlier than we are. So praise God for you. All right, and we're going to hear from our dear Sister Desiree at this time. Good morning, Sister Desiree. Okay, sis, we can't hear you. Check your mute.
Oh, I apologize for that. Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Calling in because I almost didn't, but I thought about I had been trying to get in contact for a friend for a long time. Finally got in contact with her, and I had to ask God to forgive me. The reason why she hadn't been in contact with me, I didn't even know. Here lately, I'll say this summer, and I've been trying for the past couple of years, but nonetheless, she had a heart attack.
Have mercy.
And I didn't know it. And she had a triple bypass. And she is as young as I am. Same age, we grew up together. So I am asking for prayer for her. Because one was 70%, 80%, and 90% blockage. I had no idea. I just can't even see her having a heart attack. I just can't see it. But I'm asking for prayer for her. And, Father, I pray this is okay. But I just had to. I wanted to ask prayer for her. Asking prayer for another friend of mine that's been having, who was there for me like she was some years ago when I was young. I think it literally was a moment I was having to save my life in. Her name is Cookie, and I'm just asking for prayer for her. She lost her husband some time ago, having health challenges, and I think it's been very hard for her over the past few years. And asking prayer for myself. But because now, I don't know, it solidified when I found out what she was going through. The health message, different things y'all talked about came pouring to my mind. Things that I have been doing that I sacrificed to exercise. It was just came like how much more. So I just said, Lord, give me the strength to fight daily, to pray and to get in his word more often, daily. Because I realized, you know, you feel like you're not needed, but when I found that, like, different things, God will give us an opportunity to be there, that these things are more important than the things that we so word for it, chase after. That's for the lack of a better word, that we chase after, and that all that is not even important anymore. But that, and not that we should not live from day to day, like you said, and be monks, but it's just like it's losing its importance. So that's all and I ask for. Thank you.
Amen, sister. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, and we will keep her in prayer. Well, friends, it is 7 o'clock on the dot. We'll ask my wife to close us out with closing prayer.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you on this day. There have been many on this line this morning that have asked for petitions to be granted. They're praying for others that they love and care deeply about. We can hear that in each voice that has already submitted for a petition to be prayed upon this morning. And we know that it is only you and by your might and power that are able to answer these petitions. Lord, we want to pray for Sister Dasa, asking prayer for herself. And we thank you, Lord, for the traveling mercies that were granted. And we know that she is still with her family, vacationing. And we just pray that you will continue to just be with her and be with them in a special way. Draw closeness to this family, and may they be able to look to you for their salvation. We pray for the sister asking prayer for, I believe it was Sister Liani asking prayer for Karen, Nick, Alyssa, and I believe there was another family member whose name I did not recall. But I do pray for their situation. We know that there was a loss of a baby in the family, Lord, who had a short life. But this life was brought into each of their lives for a reason, and we just ask that you would be with them, bring them comfort. We know it's difficult, but we were also have been warned, Lord, that as we draw closer and closer to your return, that many little ones would be laid to rest before the time of trouble. We know that there is an opportunity one day will be brought back into life. A beautiful life, a beautiful world that's perfect, and it will allow them to be able to grow up in pure perfection, pure health. Most importantly, they'll be growing up with you. And we just pray that these members can take this time to find you, to seek you, and not to draw from you, but to draw to you. We know sometimes opportunities like these unfortunate circumstances will bring families to you, and we pray that that's the case for this family member, all these members. And we thank you for Sister Liani sharing that, and we just pray that you will continue to let her be that beacon of light that her friends can see. Her faithfulness in you as she continues in her walk. We pray for Sister Desiree, asking prayer for her friend who had a heart attack that was unknown to her for quite some time, and we just ask, Lord, that recovery could be granted and that there could be an opportunity even for Sister Desiree to help her in whatever way you see fit. We pray for her friend Cookie, who has lost her husband, and she's dealing with health issues on her herself. And we know that sometimes the loss of a loved one can bring about physical stress and on the body, and it could just cause us, Lord, to be ill. So we ask that you would do all you can to help her, bring her comfort, strength, help her in her sicknesses, whatever they may be. And certainly if we can be of help, we ask that you will use all those efforts. And we pray, Lord, for Sister Desiree and her personal walk with you. We hear in her voice that she wants to be able to fight this spiritual battle that she's having. Let her find the time to devote to you daily, to spend time in your word, to be able to hear your still small voice as your spirit lead, guide, and direct her, Lord, in the way she should go. And we pray for everyone on this line because we all need you and we can't do anything without you. Even the smallest things you tell us to bring to you. And we must do that. We must remember that we don't have wisdom like you do. And we don't see the beginning to the end of all things. Only you do. So let us, Lord, remember that as we bring everything to you. This is a good way for us to always keep our communication going. No matter what our task is, whether we're in the kitchen needing to make a meal, whether we're
at her desk working, needing to make a decision, needing to meet a deadline, needing to get work done. If we're doing housework, Lord, help us, show us. May we always remember, Lord, help me, be with me as I begin my day. Show me, guide me throughout the day. What should I do? Help my thoughts to stay heavenly. Help my words to be kind. Help my actions to be pleasing. We just need to remember you throughout our day. We thank you, Lord, for being our God. We thank you for helping us, for delivering us, and certainly for hearing us. What an awesome God we serve, and it is a pleasure, a privilege, and an honor to serve you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, knowing you have heard us, and by faith, we believe all things will be answered in accordance with your perfect will. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.